Okay, so where did we leave off? Does anybody remember? Oh, the top of 9? I remember. Okay. Volume 30, January 12th, 1931. I was doing, according to my usual way, the round of the acts done by the divine will, and I felt that in the divine will, with it, I could embrace everything, remember everything, look at everything out of what the divine will had done. So again, this is you're going to begin to do things that you have never done before. This is, again, embrace everything, remember everything, look at everything. So that's eternity. In the human perspective, you can focus on one thing, possibly. Some people can juggle and chew gum at the same time. Most people can't. But in the divine will, you can, as she says, embrace everything, remember everything, look at everything. So don't limit what God wants to do. Each of us will experience something that the other person hasn't. So don't feel that you can't do. I don't have their gifts. Well, we're going to have God's gifts. It's not human gifts. And so let God really have His way with you. See, Jesus says so, or Louisa says, it was the infinite theater that made itself present before my mind, my little mind, with the divine and innumerable scenes. It made me enjoy unspeakable sweetnesses, the most beautiful and enchanting scenes that the power of the divine fiat has put out in the round of creation, round of redemption, and round of sanctification. And it seemed that in the round that it made in its course of the centuries, and in this round it has done many beautiful, marvelous things, which it has to astonish both heaven and earth. It made this round in order to make us go around, to make known to us how much the round of the divine will can do and is able to do for love of us. So again, just think about Adam. Adam had a perennial communion with God. When we go to Holy Communion, our God is with us in a mystical way for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. Adam had a perennial communion with God. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's what God wants to bring back. Why, as Catholics, do we have the Holy Eucharist? It's to prepare us for the perennial communion that God wants with us. So while I was going around in the infinite round of the divine volition, my lovable Jesus, visiting his little newborn, told me, my little daughter Louisa, of my holy divine will, if you knew how much I, Jesus, enjoy seeing you going around in the infinite round of my supreme fiat, and as I, Jesus, see you, Louisa, pause as though surprised in front of its prodigies, its admirable and adorable works, of its enchanting and rapturing scenes, in my ardor of love, I say, oh, how happy I am. God is happy that my little daughter, Louisa, is the spectator and enjoys seeing so admirable of the divine will that created her. So again, this has not been seen by the saints. The saints did the will of God. Louisa is the first one to live in the will of God. This is one of the reasons why most priests have not heard of Louisa. Because they have read and focused on the lives of the saints doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God, God says to Louisa, you're the first. No one has heard about this since Adam. It is my true life, Jesus says. It is my mother's true life that we are now giving to you, Louisa. Not a virtue that the saints possessed of Jesus and Mary or two, but it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's why Louisa is called the newborn, the firstborn. She has this gift. Now, that doesn't say that Louisa is greater than Jesus or Mary. Jesus is the king. Our Lady is the queen. Louisa is the little newborn. And he wants all of us to be little newborns so that he can give us this kingdom. But it is not enough. You must know that in order to purchase a property, it is necessary for one who must sell it to give it to the one who must acquire it, the freedom to visit it, almost leading him to the hand, by the hand, in order to let him know all the goods that are in it, the fountains it possesses, the rarity and preciousness of the plants, the fertility of the ground. And this serves to charm the one who must purchase it. and it is necessary for the one who must purchase it to give some advances, to make some substantial commitments in order to bind the one who must sell the property so that it may not escape him. Now, blessed daughter Louisa, since I, God, Jesus, want to give the kingdom of my divine will, it is necessary for you, Louisa, to go around in its divine properties. I, Jesus, leading you by the hand, making known to you, Louisa, its interminable seas, the goods, the prodigies, the surprising marvels, the joys, the happinesses, and all things of infinite value that it possesses, so that by knowing it, you may love it and become so enamored that not only would you be able to live without it, but you would lay down your life to purchase a kingdom so holy, so beautiful, so peaceful. And that's what Louisa did. Louisa, again, went to bed for 64 years. She did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. She gave up her life to purchase this for us. This is the kingdom that Jesus wants us to possess. See, it has to be a human being. It's not the Son of God's job, the Mother of God's job to do this. They came to redeem us. Louisa is born of original sin. Louisa is a human. Adam was a human. He was not the Son of God. He was not the Mother of God. But he fell from such a height, sharing in divinity, that it took the Son of God, took the Mother of God, Jesus redeemed, and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. Now, 2,000 years later, they found a soul, a human, who they could give this gift to. And in volume 15, Jesus says to Louisa, "We give you this gift, Louisa, so that you can give it back to the man, the Pope. He has the keys to the kingdom. He is going to open up the kingdom for all the world." So again, it's in perfect order. The man is the head of the household. It's not saying that women are not important. This is how God set it up. A man cannot give birth to a child. You can't. It's not set up that way. The man is the head of the household. The man is the king. The man is the priest. The man is the father. The mother is the queen. The mother is, at marriage, the virgin. The mother is the... Virgin, the Queen, what's the next one? Verse 3. The daughter. So here, this is what God has given us. He's given us back this priesthood. See, God's going to change the priesthood. It's going to be the way He wants it. The priesthood is, unfortunately today, I could be in a rectory 24/7 and maybe a couple people will come to the door. Yet, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a doctor, a pharmacist, has thousands of people coming to them. That doesn't make sense. The priest is the one who Jesus has given this ontological change to. The world is upside down. The priest, again, will be the one. He brings healing through the anointing of the sick, through confession, through the Holy Eucharist. This is the healing that God wants. So Jesus says, "I'm going to change the priesthood. I'm going to perfect it." And if you read volume 10, you can see the terrible plight that Jesus went through is with his priests. And yet he is going to bring about a new priesthood, a priesthood that's going to astonish the world. It starts with the Pope. Our job is to understand what God is doing. He's bringing this gift to the newborn Louisa. So the newborn Louisa will give it to the Pope. So you need a man and a woman. You have Adam and Eve. You have Jesus and Mary. You have Louisa and the Pope. So this is the way it has to be. And how glorious this is that we now have a Pope and a Pope Emeritus at the same time. This is just astonishing. It shows us something close is happening. Something is going to happen. Jesus says, "But this is not yet all. Your part is needed. Your pledges, your advances and commitments of our love and goodness, wanting to give our divine will as property that belongs to the creatures. It is so great that it places at her disposal what our divine will has done, so that she, Louisa, may use it as the equivalent pledges and commitments in order to receive a gift so great." So God is doing it. God is giving this to Louisa. And says, "Louisa, this is your mission. Now you give it back to us. and we can give it to all the world. Now, as you, Louisa, go around to creation and you look at the heavens and you delight in seeing the beautiful azure vault studded with stars, the sun radiant with light, and you recognize and feel the divine fiat still palpitating, having created them for love of creatures, and unleashed from your heart your little love. You love He, God, who has loved so much you. So your love is imprinted in the heights of heaven and the light of the sun, and you, Louisa, will give us the pledge as, the heavens as pledge, the stars as advance, the sun as commitment, because for you, Louisa, it was created. And it was enough that you, Louisa, possess our divine will as your life, for it to be ready, already yours, and to use it as a valid commitment in order to obtain its kingdom. So Jesus says, everything's been given to you, Louisa. Now you're going to be the mother of the second generation. You're going to bring everybody into this kingdom. You're going to give this to the Holy Father. He's going to open the doors, and the kingdom is going to be established. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. So he says, the same as you go around in all the other created things, you recognize them, you love us, Triune God, and for the many times as you repeat your rounds, so many times do you repeat the pledges and make the commitments and commit us, God, to dispose things, to give graces, helps in order to give as the kingdom, the great gift of the Fiat Voluntas Tua on earth as it is in heaven. So as Louisa does her rounds, she's preparing the kingdom. Now Jesus is asking us to do the rounds with Louisa, to link ourselves with Louisa, to go with Louisa, to, again, have this great gift, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So we take all the I love yous of creation and we give it back to God with our I love you. We know that the creature has nothing to give us. Our love imposes itself in order to give our acts as if they were the creature's own, placing our works in the creature's hands as divine currency, so that the soul may have sufficient means to be able to negotiate with our supreme being. Through the soul, though the soul has nothing, she has her little love unleashed by her own divine love in the act of creating her. Therefore, the soul, Louisa, has a particle of the infinite love of God, and when the soul loves us, Triune God, she places the infinite in attitude, and we, Triune God, feel the magnetic force of the particular, of the particle of our infinite love that hovers about, loves us in the soul, Louisa, rises and extends and reaches even to us, Triune God, and wants to enter into the infinite from which it came out. Oh, how it enraptures us in the outer of our love. And we say, who can resist the power of our infinite love that unleashes itself from the creature and loves us? To give heavens and earth seem little to us in order to repay her for her little love, that though little, she possesses the particle of the infinite, and this is enough for us, Triune God. Oh, how sweet and dear is the precious pledge of the love of the soul, Louisa. And since there is nothing in the round of the centuries that has not come out of our holy divine will, your, Louisa, going around the creation of man is a visit that you make to it in order to know what it operated and what seas of grace, of sanctity, of love, Adam, basically, was placed in the act of being created. And you, Louisa, would want to make that love of all yours in order to love us, and you commit us to those same acts with which we created Adam. In the same way, when you, Louisa, go around in the creation of the Virgin Mary, in Our Lady's ocean, seas of graces, in my Jesus is coming upon earth and everything that I, Jesus, did and suffered, you place as commitment the Queen of Heaven, my very life, and all of my acts. So Jesus is saying, You're doing everything, Louisa, in a way that the saints couldn't. You're going to Adam, you're going to Jesus doing his acts, you're going to the Blessed Mother doing her acts. See, a saint did their own human acts, okay? Like St. Francis would, when he was building, would take the saw and hammer and hammer and saw. He would just do work, doing the will of God. Well, now, Jesus says, I want Louisa to live in my will, to do what I do, to do what my mother has done, to do what Adam has done before the fall, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. See, this is why the Vatican is looking at this and going, this is astonishing. This is why Pope John Paul II said, it's a new and divine life that's coming upon the earth. There's new and divine realities that are going to occur. And we can see this in all the apparitions and visions throughout the world. I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, seeing Israel surrounded, that's scriptural. Seeing all those coming against Israel, it's scriptural. Seeing two holy fathers. You look at Father Gobi. Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, everything's complete. Jesus giving the volumes out in 1996, everything's complete. The Holy Father getting ready for the third millennium. Get ready for this new outpouring of love of the Holy Spirit. We have to be honest with ourselves. This has never been seen before. And He's been preparing us over and over and over, getting us closer and closer and closer to the end of time so that we can enter into eternity. How spectacular is this? Our God wants us to be ready. So He's asking us to read. That's all He says. Read, study, put it into practice. Learn to live this life that I breathed into Louisa. Now, again, most people are not going to do this. So He's depending on us to do it. And if we really read this book of heaven, I think we will be astonished. My will is everything, Jesus says. In order to give itself to the creature, it wants to be recognized. It wants to interact. It wants to negotiate with the soul. And more so, and more you, Louisa, visit the divine will in its acts, the more bound and committed it finds itself. It begins the dispersing of its capital. So this is what God has given us. The truths, the knowledges which I have given you, Louisa, about my divine will. As we read this, we become filled with joy, peace, and happiness. Has this perhaps not been the capital which I have made in your soul? And it's so exuberant that it can fill the whole entire world with light, with love, with sanctity, with graces, with peace? And was it perhaps not after a round you, Louisa, did in its acts that I, Jesus, was already waiting for you basically to do with all love in order to give you, Louisa, its pledges and advances that its kingdom would come upon earth? See, it's going to happen. And the more that we pray the round of creation, round of redemption, the sooner it's going to happen. You gave your pledges about, in my fiat, you gave its own. Okay, when we do the pledge of the fiat, we really give back to God what is God's. It can be said that each truth and each word that it spoke about it was a measure it took in order to form this kingdom and call up it made in order to form its army, its capital, it dispersed in order to maintain it, joys, delights, and draws all creatures, divine strength, and to conquer them. In fact, that we first do deeds in order everything, and then we show and we make known the deeds we have done. And since we, Triune God, want to give this good to souls, it is just and reasonable that we, Triune God, deal with at least one soul, Louisa, so that from one soul, Louisa, it may pass to another. We do not do our works in the air, but we want a little shelf on which to form our greatest works. Wasn't the Queen of Heaven our little shelf in the great work of redemption? And that extended to all souls and whoever wants it. Therefore, let your flight, Louisa, be in my holy divine will, be continuous, so that the two of you may exchange. That is, Our Lady and Louisa. You, Louisa, your pledges in my divine will as capitals in order to accelerate its kingdom on the face of the earth. Okay. That was a tough one. Okay, we've got another tough one here. Okay, volume 30, March 6, 1932. My daughter Louisa, everything goes around the creature. The heavens go around, and do not let her escape from the under the azure, the vault, the sun that goes around with its little rounds of light and gives her light and heat. The water goes around the creature, and the fire, and the air, the wind. Each element gives her the properties it contains. My very life and all my works are in continuous round around the creatures, to be in continuous act of giving itself to them. Even more, you must know that as soon as a baby is conceived, my conception goes around the conception of the baby, informs him and keeps him defended. So that's why the devil wants abortion. That's why the devil wants sterilization. That's why the devil wants artificial means of birth control. They want to stop this conception. They don't want God. That's why the divine will is given to the souls that are open to life. When I hear a grandmother say to their granddaughter, "I'm glad you're pregnant and not me," that is evil. That is saying to the daughter that life is not important. So we got to be very careful. Life is of God. Love is of God. Light is of God. And our Lord wants us to enter into this abundant life. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Look at the fields in the spring. They're filled with flowers. I mean, this is our God. You know, he wants us to be like him. And what the devil wants is he wants to destroy every child. So Jesus says, "And he is born. My birth places itself around the newborn. It goes around him and gives him the helps of my birth. My tears and my wailings, even my breath, goes around him to warm him. The newborn does not love me. The newborn does not love me, though consciously, and I, Jesus, love him to folly. I love his innocence, my image in him. I love what he must be. My steps go around his first vacillating steps in order to strengthen them. They continue to go around until the last step of his life, to keep his steps safe within my round of steps. In some, my works go around his works, my works around his, my pains around his pains. And when he's about to breathe his last of his life, my agony goes around him in support of his own. My death with unconquerable strength goes around him to give him unexpected health with jealousy all divine. It presses itself around him so that his death may not be death, but true life for heaven. And I can say that even my resurrection goes around his sepulcher, waiting for the propitious time in order to call by the emperor of my resurrection, his resurrection of the body to immortal life. Now all the works that I have come out of my will, all of them go around and around. For this purpose they were created. To stop means to have no life, and not to produce the fruit established by us, which cannot be, because the divine being knows how to knows not how to do either dead works nor works without fruit." See, God is gratuitous. He's giving. He's constantly outpouring. So, and that's what God wants for us. He wants us to continuously pray, not to stop praying. Okay, and what we learned, first of all, just by saying over and over and over again, for everything that we see, hear, smell, feel, is "I love you, I 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 love you." I mean, that's if that's all you can say in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's the best. That's the best. It's to fall in love with God. So one who enters into my divine will takes her place in order of creation and feels the need to go around together with all created things. She feels the necessity to make her rapid round about around my conception, around my birth, around my tender age, and everything that I did upon earth. This is the round of redemption. The beauty of it is that while she goes around all our works go around her, and some they compete in going around each other. But this is all the effects and the fruits of my divine will, such that since it is continuous motion, one who is in it feels the life of its motion. And therefore, we need to run together with it. Even more, I, Jesus, tell you, Louisa, if you do not feel the continuous race of going around our works, it is a sign that your life is not permanent in my divine will. So Jesus is saying he wants to see that desire to do these rounds so that our life can be permanent in his will. But if you make some exits, some little escapes, and therefore the race ceases, because the one who gives it gives it the life of running is missing. And as you enter into it, so it puts you in the order, and you continue the race because another will, divine and operated, has entered into you. So therefore, be attentive, because you have to deal with an omnipotent will, which always runs and always embraces everything. So you see how God wants us. See, he gives us a desire for this. Okay, now we're going to run with an omnipotent will. We're finite. Our bodies are limited. We are not strong. We are weak. And yet God says, "I want you to have this infinite life." He gives us this infinite life of baptism. And so the Lord is asking us to really become Catholic, to really begin to live this universal life. We have to be in God's image and likeness. It can't be It can't be, well, that's nice. Oh, I really, that's interesting. We have to fall in love with this. And as you fall in love with this, as you do your round of creation, falling in love with everyone and everything, past, present, and future, adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God in every animal, vegetable, and mineral, your life becomes the life that God breathed into you. It's a life of peace, joy, and happiness. Again, you are filled with joy. You are filled with happiness. It can't leave you unless you say, I don't want it. And even then, Jesus says that would be difficult. Because he wants us to have his image and likeness. He wants us to live in Eden, in pleasure. He wants us to live in paradise. That's our home. The animals are still alive there. He wants us to re-enter into paradise. Colors and hues and tones never before seen. I mean, remember St. Francis, he wanted to hear an angel sing, and the angel said, I'll give you one note. It's so beautiful. And the angel gave him one note, and St. Francis was in ecstasy for 3 days. What is heaven like? You know, we should spend time going to heaven. We should let Louisa take us to heaven with Jesus and Mary, to visit Jesus and Mary. To see that the miracles aren't for 2,000 years ago. Those were band-aid miracles. Everyone that was healed 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ died physically. Jesus says, I want something more. He says it's going to be the miracle of miracles that's coming. God is going to breathe into us this ruah, this breath of God, in the second Pentecost. God is going to set the world on fire with his love. The kingdom is going to be established. The devil is going to leave. But he says to us, I want you to participate in this. It's not your family, your friends, your neighbors. They don't want it. But I give this to you. Jesus says, if you have these books, he says, I have given them to you. Jesus has given them to you. Now, what's really wonderful is as you read this, your life can never be the same. Nothing will bother you. Water off a duck's back. Nothing can disturb you. Because everything is fiat. Jesus says when the chastisement comes, those living in the divine will, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon the souls. And that's what he wants to bring about. He wants to bring about this new heavens and this new earth. So therefore, volume 34, March 26, 1937. Now, you, Louisa, must know that the creation and my holy humanity are fields where the soul develops her acts when she does and lives in my holy divine will. Okay. Having been given the possession of it, she feels the need of circulating like blood in the vein in the works of her Creator. She wants to know their value, the goods that they do, the office that they occupy, also in order to love them even more, in order to appreciate them, in order to feel happier, richer by the so many goods that she possesses. Okay, so this is why the Hubble telescope is great. You know, what the images that you see there, Jesus says, I want you to know this. I want you to see the value. I want you to enter into it. The submarines that go down to the bottom of the ocean, I want you to see this. The microscopes, I want you to know this. The science that's going on, I want you to possess this. See, everything, God wants us to participate in divinity. I don't want you just to know it scientifically. I want you to know what it's all about. Adam knew everything. Adam used 100% of his brain. You know, and so now Jesus is saying, I want you to think in my thinking. I want you to see in my seeing. I want you to hear with my hearing. See, God wants us to participate in him. And so it's not human. It's divine. Our God wants us to enter into this divine reality. Now, again, no one possesses this yet fully. But what the Lord is saying, do you want this? And our response is fiat. Let it be done as you say. So again, we read, we study, we get ready, we prepare, we long for this, we study it, and we watch what God does. That's why he says very clearly. This is why now she comes near the sun in order to know the secrets of its light, the rainbow of its colors, the virtues of its heats, its continuous miracle that it develops on the face of the earth. And only by touching it with its light and vivifying it, its colors, its sweetness, it transforms. And oh, how she loves the sun, because it is hers. And she loves even more he, God, who had created it. She does the same with all the other created things. She wants to know the secret virtue that they contain in order to love them some more, in order to be grateful and to love even more of the God who has given her the possession. So again, we begin, Adam possessed everything. He possessed a divine science. And this is why it's so good for us to enter into this divine will, because first of all, we fall more in love with our triune God. We fall more in love with Our Lady. We fall more in love with the Pope, the Church, our dogma and our doctrine. We fall more in love with all the things of earth because we see the reflection of God in them, as St. Thomas teaches us. Therefore, there is nothing to marvel that the one Louisa who lives in my divine fiat comes to be called the heiress of the whole world creation. So here's one of her titles, Louisa, the heiress of the whole of creation. From the field of creation, Louisa passes into the field of my humanity. But who can tell you then, my daughter Louisa, about the marvels that happen in this living field? Not works alone, as in the creation, but of human and divine life. They put themselves at my place, nor can I, Jesus, refuse myself, because I am of them. They have the right over me, and I am happy that they possess me, because they will love me even more. Now in this field of mine, these creatures repeat my divine life. They love with my own love. To see what God wants, see, your human love is miserable. Your human love is puny. Compared to divine love, it's not even compared to a drop of the ocean, a drop of the water in the ocean compared to the ocean. It's your human love is so minute. It is so nothing that our God wants us to participate in his divine love, infinite love. He wants us to possess this abundant love. So he's asking us to let go of our things that we love on earth and to begin to embrace the things of heaven. And that's why then we can repeat the life of Jesus. Their acts fused with mine form so many suns, skies, stars, and oh, how much more beautiful than those of creation that fill the field of my humanity. So Jesus is showing us that what we see with our eyes is nothing compared to what is the true life of God in the interior of Christ. Oh, how I, Jesus, feel myself loved and glorified because these suns, skies, stars are not mute as those of creation, but they are speaking suns, full with fullness of reason. Again, in paradise, there is nothing that is dead. In paradise, there is nothing that is inanimate. Everything is alive. Everything is living. Even the grass that you walk on is alive with reason, Jesus says. Speaking, step on me. I want to serve the children of God. Step on me. Where we're going has never been seen. Where we're going, Jesus says, we're going to be astonished of how much God loves us and how well they speak about my love. They speak and they love me. They speak and they tell me the history of souls and that of my love, and therefore they win favor such that I must place them in safety. Now, again, this is three-dimensional and in technicolor. We understand two-dimensional black and white. So as you read this, sometimes it gets iffy. You go, what? I don't understand. Just be peaceful. God will explain it later on. He gives you little teeny clues to those that are docile to those that want this gift. And I've seen people come and go in the divine will, and a lot of them just say, I don't understand it. It's too much for me. And God says, fine. I can't give it to you. And what we have to say is, I want this. I want to give my fiat. I don't understand technicolor. I don't understand three-dimensional. All I know is black and white. All I know is two-dimensional, but I want this. I want it. I want it. I want it. And God says, good. Come to me and I'll give you more. So it's always, we're the little children. We can't walk. We can't talk. We're little babies. We're little newborns. There's no way we can get in. Basically, the divine will is like a rocket ship. How can a little baby fly a rocket ship? You know, it's just statistical. I have no idea, but it looks really mean. You know, it's the same thing as we read. I don't understand this, but I want it. I get glimpses in how beautiful this is. So they speak and they cover themselves with my sufferings. And in order to repeat my life, and I, Jesus, feel these souls flow in my tears and my words and my works and my steps, and I find them refreshing in my sufferings and my support, my defense, my refuge. It's all of God. It's to be one with God. So much that my love for them, and that I, Jesus, arriving at calling them my life. So that's our name in heaven. See, Jesus gives us a new name. So when he points us out to in heaven to the saints, he's going to say, there's my divine will, and there's my divine will, and there's my divine will. That's our new name. God wants us, we become his life. Why? Do we do anything? No. All we say is yes. Fiat. I want this. God says, good, I want to give it to you. You will never understand this completely. But I want to give it to you. So we echo Our Lady's fiat voluntas tua. Fiat mihi. I'll let it be done to me. Oh, how I love them. I possess them and they possess me. To possess and to love, even to folly, all the same. Again, mutual possession. God loving us and us loving God. Now these souls who live in my divine will are disposed to receiving all of the sufferings of my humanity, because it being impossible for me to suffer, because I am glorious in heaven, my divine will with this omnipotent breath creates the suffering, the sorrows, and forms there my divine living humanity that substitutes for me in everything. And they are the new saviors who give their life in order to save the entire world. Right, Frank? Okay. Yeah. So what happens is our job is to... I mean, think about this. Jesus says, you are the new saviors. I mean, I am nothing. But he says, it's not for you. It's to save the entire world, to save the human generations. See, it's not for me to become a saint. I want to become a saint, but God wants more. And that's why he says, in fact, from heaven, I, Jesus, look at the earth and I find as many Jesuses who, taken by the same folly of my love, give their life at the cost of suffering and of death, in order to tell me, I am your faithful copy. The sufferings make me smile because I enclose souls. And I, oh how I, God, love them. I do not feel alone anymore. I feel happy, victorious, because having a company in developing the same life and the same sufferings in wanting that what I, God, want, and that is my greatest happiness. That is my paradise on earth. So, again, all of us are going to go through difficulties, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial. All of us are. And now how do you deal with it? I mean, you can be screaming and ranting and raving, becoming a lunatic or fiat. See, there's going to be more lunatics running around. Because it's going to get so bad. When the finances go, when the electricity goes, when the water goes, watch what happens. The children of the divine will are going to say fiat. God is going to take care of them. Remember, Noah did not get wet. God's going to take care of us. We consecrated ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We did this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. God, see, the 3 days of darkness is basically God saying to the devil, it's yours. Bring death to the earth. You're in charge. You want it, it's yours. And then he takes what he wants. If we are with God, there's nothing to worry about. If we are really striving to live in the divine will, death has no power over us. Our God wants us to recognize who he is, how great he is, how beautiful he is, how loving he is, how generous he is. He wants us to participate in this divine adoration. But he will not interfere with our freedom. He can't. He can't do that. Therefore, how many great portentous things my divine will knows how to do, provided they live in the divine will. That's what we have to do. It forms my same living humanity and produces for me the same joys of my celestial fatherland. Therefore, take to heart to always live in my divine will. Do not think of anything else, because if you do this, I feel my love broken in you. And if you knew how much it cost me to not be loved forever, for even one moment, in fact, in that moment I remain alone. You break the happiness with me. In my delirium of love, I keep on repeating, how is it? I always love her, and she, no. Therefore, be attentive, because I do not want to ever remain alone. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.